Good morning. I am so glad to be up here and back in church. I've been out of church for a while. In Nicaragua, the church is closed. And here, we've been at home. I'm protecting my mother. She's 79 years old. If she could figure out how to click on that button, then she's watching right now. I had to leave her. And we're so glad to be here. As we were worshiping, I got a word I want to mention. And the word I heard from the Lord, I had to put it in my notes, is new vessels. New vessels. This pandemia is for God to create new vessels. Now, he's not doing anything bad to anybody. There's controversy over where this virus started, who's responsible, or was it God? But God is moving, God is active, and he's creating new vessels. I'm so glad to be back in church today, my first day in months. And I really appreciate the Facebook audience out there, the brothers and sisters of Abundant Life that are watching the program. We started forming a clique. When you sign in, you tell everybody good morning, and I want to appreciate all those people, because God's doing something, and I am a broken vessel. I'm a broken vessel. My wife and I got a fever back in Nicaragua, and so we quarantined ourselves. The Nicaraguan government won't give a test. They won't test you to tell you if it's COVID or not. So I'm 59 years old, and they say at 60, so I'm a couple of days over 59. So I said, this might be a bad trip for me. How many of you had a fever during this time? Nobody here wants to raise their hand? Okay. But I got the fever, and I was with a fever for a week, and I said, this could be a bad trip. And I spent a lot of lonely hours and days up in the upstairs room, and my wife was downstairs, and missed her touch, missed her closeness. She would put my food at the door. And then, you know, I said, this might be a bad trip, and there's no medical, decent medical attention for everybody in Nicaragua. So I said, this might be and then my wife got the fever, and we were broken, lots of tears, but I think that broken was to throw out the old vessel, and God's putting new wine in a new vessel. And so there's companies that are breaking all over the country, but the economy is going to boom because there's innovation, there's new things happening. The people that make masks, they're making a fortune. The people that make masks, the people that make disinfectant for your hands, they're raking it in, you know. And so there's new things happening because of this pandemic, and something new is happening in all of us. Amen. So I really appreciate the people that are watching, and I was part of the watch group. Now I'm part of the in live in person group, and there's plenty of room here. Everybody's distanced out except the families. And we could take in here 30, 40 more people without violating, you know, the distance rules. So I think people are gradually coming back. I've been looking out for my mom, you know, because if I carry it, I don't know if I've had it and I'm immune or not. I'll tell you why I don't know if I'm immune later on. But people are gradually coming back because we have to go on. We have to go on with our lives. Protect the vulnerable people. But we have to go on, amen. And I want to give you a little report about Nicaragua. Thanks, Pastor Steve, for greeting the people in Nicaragua that watch us on Facebook Live. Pastor Edgar Rivera, he's one of them, and I send him ¿Cómo está, Pastor Edgar? And so we send out greetings to all those people in Nicaragua. Many pastors have died. So there's a new thing going on in the churches. I'm happy for those pastors that are going on and are getting a rich reward. Amen. And the church keeps on going. The church doesn't stop. But we know several pastors that have died. Several pastors that have been sick. You know, with the COVID virus and people. And so it was becoming a very tense place for us. The embassy kept on sending me emails. You got to get out the country. You got to get out the country. And they said they would organize rescue flights. And so Millie and I, we talked with Pastor Carl, 20 years, come and take a furlough. I like to be a person, missionary, boots on the ground, representing the Lord and representing this church in a, where I'm supposed to be, but we're, I thank Pastor Carl for the furlough he gave us. And so we took that rescue flight and came back. And we're here until the airport's open again, and we'll be able to go back home and continue. I want to thank Abundant Life because last month you guys sent us an offering out of the offerings that come in. We've got an offering for COVID relief. There was an offering for COVID relief, and we did a lot of good stuff with that. I've got a short video. They bought PPT. They bought a mask and disinfectant stuff for the church, a sanctuary, and they bought it for the kids. The little kids have masks now. When they come to Sunday school, they can put them on. They don't keep them on, but they have masks to wear at Sunday school. And we did several outdoor campaigns, preaching in the street and giving out food. Hundreds and hundreds of baskets of food gave out to the people. And so thank you. Thank you for that COVID relief. Trump or the government didn't send us anything over there. But Abundant Life gave some COVID relief to the Nicaraguan churches over there. We thank you for that. It was a tremendous blessing. There's a video rolling right now showing Pastor Edgar and giving out some of those food baskets along with some preaching and the kids' church. Okay, I want to get into the Word. I want to get into the Word this morning. If you got your Bible, let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. To the people watching, I know there's people out in the parking lot that are looking at this. They're watching us on Facebook, sitting out in the parking lot. And when some people told me that they come but they don't come in, they stand in the parking lot and watch. It reminds me of Burger King. How many of you have been to the drive-thru at Burger King? And when you roll your window down, maybe you don't go to Burger King. There's probably better places. But when you roll the window down, they intentionally, there's this charbroiled smell coming out of the smokestack. And so you're outside, you know, but you still smell what the burgers are like inside. So I think we're praying that the smell of the presence of the Lord that's here right now, we're praying that you receive a lot of that smell that gets out to you in Facebook, because there has been times that I've been watching Pastor Carl minister, and hasn't he been a great pastor during the pandemic? Let's give him a big hand, him and Pastor Brenda. He was speaking to me 3,000 miles away, and tears would come to my eyes as he knew what I was feeling. I could hear in the message and encouragement, you know, in my times when I was isolated with the fever. In Matthew chapter 22, we're going to start reading with verse 10. And I want to talk to you today about rejection and acceptance. Rejection and acceptance, or acceptance and rejection. And we're going to read this scripture together. I want you to read it with your understanding. Let's try to get as much as we can just from reading it. Matthew chapter 22, verse 10. So the servants... This is a parable that Jesus told. So the servants brought in everyone they could find, good and bad alike. And the banquet hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for a wedding. Friend, he asked, how is it that you are here without wedding clothes? But the man had no reply. Then the king said to his aides, bind his hands and feet and throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, at this time I come to you, Lord, standing in this sacred holy office behind this pulpit, Father, to preach your word. I pray, Father, that your word would be as sharp as a two-edged sword. I pray it would go forth, not only here in this sanctuary, but through the technology, would reach all parts of this earth, Father. And I pray that your word, Father, would accomplish what it was designed to do, Lord. Anoint me, Father, that I speak not outside of your spirit, that I speak not in the flesh, but I speak through the Holy Ghost, those who are listening, Lord. I want to, Lord, to preach to them today about the parable of the wedding garments. Lord Jesus, anoint me now and anoint us all to hear your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Every time I come back to the States, I always notice change. One year we came back and the cell phones had grown really big. I noticed change. In Nicaragua, the cars are small. Gasoline is about $4 a gallon. And the cars are small. And I come over here and everybody's got big trucks with Hemis in them, you know. And the cars and the trucks are bigger. And when I come over here, I notice change. I regretfully tell you today that the change that I noticed on this trip was rejection. I've never experienced so much rejection, I think, in my whole life. Either that or I'm getting very sensitive. But I can name rejections this week. And maybe because I was going to preach on rejection, I started paying attention. But you know, you're going to go into a store and it says you must wear a mask. And I saw a video where somebody tried to go into Okay, yeah, they were back. Okay. So if you try, I saw a video where somebody tried to get into Walmart's and one of the, one of the associates was like tackling the guy. How many of you saw that video? That guy could not go into Walmart. He was not welcome. He was not welcome. He didn't want to put on a mask and they said, you cannot come in. There's masks only, and you know, you get out of your car, you get almost to the door of a store or something, and my mask is in the car. If I try to go in, they're going to reject me, you know? Rejection. We knew we were going to stay here an extended time, so we were looking for a house to rent, and a house opened up on the same street where my mother and my two sisters live, and they have three houses there. They call it the Bermuda Triangle. And but a house opened up at the end of the block, and we went over there, and we looked at it. Millie came in with her little dog, Titita, and the lady said, no pets. You can't stay in my house. Everybody say rejection. Oh, we had to turn and walk back and sleep on the couch. And I tried to get a credit card. I was rejected. They made it look like it was so easy. You know, fill out this card and and they rejected me. We went to the to a blood drive. Millie and I went to a blood drive to give blood, and they would tell me if I had the corona antibodies because I really want to know that fever. I've never had a fever like that. It lasted so long, and so I wanted to see if I had the antibodies. And Millie too, she had a terrible cough. She had a terrible cough. Sound like a horror movie at night, but we wanted to check for antibodies. And as soon as I checked on, I didn't want to be rejected. How many of you like to be rejected? I didn't want to be rejected. I'm feeling like I'm getting turned down left and right here. So I went on the website. It says, if you've traveled in the last 3 months, you have to tell them. And I called. I said, I don't want to waste your time and you waste my time. And I called the American Red Cross and they said, where have you traveled in the last 3 months? And I said, I'm in Nicaragua. Where at? Managua. Managua's okay. Managua's okay. So I went. And they said, oh, you've been out of the country, yeah? Do you have residency out of the country? I said, yes. You can't give blood. Everybody say rejection, you know? And it's just been going, so many things. And we were at the airport, and there was hardly anybody there. And they have these ropes, you know, that do a zigzag to spread everybody out and make the line last a long time. And so Millie, she just ducked under the rope and went up to where the few people were. And so I'm going to do the same thing, but I'm a lot taller. I had to bend over. I'm a little bit older. I'm 10 years older. It took me a little bit more. And the TSA guy said, sir. And I turned around and looked, and he was pointing his finger at me. Sir, you can't do that. Stay right where you're at. and everybody in the hotels, I mean, everybody in the airport's looking at me, and the TSA people, and they have guns, and he's looking at me, and I'm under the rope halfway there and halfway here. And I say, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And then we go to the YMCA, and there's a turnstile, and I left my ID card in the truck. So Millie goes halfway, turns the crank, 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 halfway on the turnstile, and she says, come on, get in with me. And so I say, okay. So I go, and the lady at the counter says, sir, you can't do that. I say, okay, you know. I just feel like I've been turned down, rejected. People told me no so many times on this trip. And we read this story about a wedding feast. We read the story about a wedding feast. We're going to read it again. And I want you to pick up on the end of the story. What's this a story about? This is a story about a man being rejected, a man being kicked out, a man being cast out. This story has a terrible ending. So the servants brought in everyone they could find, good and bad alike, and the banquet hall was filled with guests. You know, the airport was empty that day when they told me, sir, sir. But can you imagine? This place is filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for a wedding. Friend, he asked him, how is it that you are here without wedding clothes? But the man had no reply. Then the king said to his aides, bind his hands and feet and throw him into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This guy was rejected. He was not given access. He was turned away. He was cast into outer darkness to be punished. I went to Wells Fargo yesterday. We wanted to deposit some money in somebody's account that has in our son's account that has a account at Wells Fargo. And I go through the drive-thru, and the lady says, do you have an account with us? And I say, no, ma'am. She says, I cannot take your cash. You have to go down to Walmart's Food Lion and buy a money order. I will not take your cash. I said, okay. I'm writing this down. So you're rejecting me. She said, no, I'm not rejecting you. I'm giving you an option. That's what this parable is about. This man was rejected, but the parable is about, I'm giving you an option. And we're going to look into this a little bit. Notice that the aides, the servants, went about and they filled the hall with, it says, good and bad. The place was filled with people, good people and bad people. And this man was not rejected for being bad. There were bad people at this wedding feast, but he was not rejected for being bad. He was not rejected for bad behavior. Charles Spurgeon, my favorite preacher, who lived about 100 years ago, says that this man did not acknowledge the king nor the prince, nor care one atom about this gladsome event. He had no objection to be there, to eat the dainties, to recline upon the seats, and to see the pomp and the show. But he was only in it and not of it. He was there in body, but not in spirit. And so when the king came, this man had no regards for the son of the king. He didn't don the proper attire to honor. He was dressed in a form that was unhonorable to the son of the king. That was his sin. That was his reason for being rejected. Not because he was a bad person, because there were plenty of bad people there. The place was full of good and bad. He was rejected for not honoring the king's son. Notice also that in the parable that the guests that were there, they did not reject the man. He was there among them, probably for a while. The king eventually arrived, but the whole time the man was there, and none of the guests were looking him up and down and making him feel uncomfortable and calling him aside and teaching him better and teaching him manners. The guest allowed the man to stay. The servants didn't take it upon themselves to throw the man out or to rebuke the man. The servants didn't do anything. This man was allowed to stay, and he was accepted by the people and by the servants. But when the king came, there's only one judge, and it's the king. There's only one that's going to pronounce and separate the good from the bad. The Bible tells us over and over that we're living in a time. It feels sometimes like a time of rejection. Some people have gone to a church and felt rejection. Some people, I feel rejection, like I've explained it in several places. I don't feel it here at Abundant Life. But I do know of churches, the culture just rejects you. I'll never forget a friend of this congregation, we were in the building before. The man would come every Sunday and he smelled like alcohol. But we loved him. We loved Brother Carl. We loved that man. It wasn't Carl Morris. It was another Carl. But he would come every Sunday and he would smell. You know, he was alcoholic. But he was never rejected. And nobody was there to judge him. I don't judge him today. There's one judge. Amen? And so sometimes what the Lord wants to teach us in this parable, it's about the coming of the king, of course, but it's also about the culture of our feast, the culture of our meetings, the culture of our church. We're the guests. We're the guest, and we don't reject anybody. That's not our job. Our job is to enjoy the feast. And the servants, their job was to fill up the place. They went about bringing good and bad. That was their job. They were filler-uppers. The servants are filler-uppers. They're not rejectors. They don't point their finger. They don't say, "You're not worthy." But the place was filled. And that's the way God wants. When he comes, he wants the place to be filled. The example here, the teaching here, is that the rest of the guests were good examples. They had on the proper clothing. We're going to talk about that right now. What does it mean? What does it mean that the man did not have on the wedding garment? We're going to look now at Galatians chapter 3, verse 21. Let's go to Galatians 3:21. Galatians 3:21. I'm looking at that and it's not what it's supposed to say. I must have copied down the wrong reference, because it says that ye who were baptized have put on Christ. There's a scripture that says you who have been baptized have put on Christ. And I must have wrote down the wrong. Maybe somebody will correct me here. But so what does it mean by putting on the wedding garments? It says when you are baptized, you put on as a garment. You put Christ on as a garment. When I go down into the baptismal waters, I'm putting on Christ, is what the scripture here is. That apparently I've written down the wrong reference. I'll have to... Verse 27, okay, I couldn't tell the 1 from a 7. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. So how do we, the king is coming, the parable Jesus is telling, it serves for a lot of teaching, a lot of purposes, a lot of instruction. But also it talks about the coming of the Lord, the coming of the king. And the people united together to receive the king. Jesus is coming back. And right now it's a day of acceptance. It's a day of salvation. It's a day of filling up the halls. It's a day of gathering in. And there's no judgment. There's no judgment. The blood of Jesus is sufficient for us. And so we have to, but the Bible's warning us that if we're going to be accepted when the King comes, we have to put on the garment. And here in Galatians 3:27, all have been united with Christ in baptism, have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. If you're hearing about baptism and you're not baptized, this is the warning. This is the sign saying don't enter without a mask. This is the warning, the option you are given. You should accept Christ and be baptized. And then when the King shows up, you won't be embarrassed. When the King shows up, you won't be cast out. When the King shows up, you won't be rejected. Because you might feel like, well, nobody's pointing their finger at me. That's not our job. Our job is to welcome you in. Our job is to treat you because we're no better than anybody else. The good and the bad are here. The good and the bad are in the kingdom of heaven. But you have to put on the garment of Christ. And you put on Christ through baptism. That is the first step. Believe and be baptized. Let's look at one more scripture on this regard. Romans 13:14. And here it tells us again to put on Christ. It describes coming to Jesus and believing in Jesus. It describes him as if it were putting on a set of clothes. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge in your evil desires. So I want to encourage everybody. Maybe there's somebody here. Maybe there's a young person here. You've been listening to the gospel. You're raised in church. And it comes a day when you understand that God is going to come. That the Lord is coming back. And what he's requiring is that we believe in him and be baptized. And so maybe you're a young person. I haven't been baptized. In this church, I think you speak with, if you're very young, you speak with your parents. If you're a young person, an older youth, you come to the pastor. But you say, hey, I want to be baptized. And they'll be more than happy to baptize you. Maybe you that are watching around the world in Facebook, maybe here nearby out in the parking lot, and somebody in the car hasn't been baptized. That's the way we put on Christ. This teaching the Bible says, put on Christ as if it were a garment. Put him on, and then you won't be rejected. You won't be rejected. You'll be accepted when the King comes. Amen? Let's look at, I want to give you a couple of verses of assurance of salvation. Mark 16:16. Let's read that. Mark 16:16. This is good teaching. This is good teaching because today is the acceptable day of the year, day of the Lord. This is the acceptable day of the Lord. And we shouldn't be involved in rejection, rejecting others. That others feel rejection, that others don't feel acceptance in us. You know, a counselor told me, he said, you can't change people because you want them to change. You can't change people by throwing up in their face their faults. The only thing that changes people is when you help them, because the reason they don't do right, they don't live up to your expectations, is because maybe they're wounded. Something hurt them. They are hurt and they're coping. There's fear. There's low self-esteem. There's things that people have gone through. People have got involved in stuff and they're hurt and they're wounded. And you won't change them by hitting them over the head with the Bible, by telling what they're doing is wrong, by taking offense at them. The way people change is when they feel love and acceptance for who they are, and you can see past that and see a person there, and see a person that has been wounded, that has been rejected, and has given up hope, or he is full of fear. And when that person can hold on to you as a trusted confidant and a friend, that person has the opportunity to grow and to get better. Amen? So it's not by rejection. We don't accomplish anything by rejecting somebody. We don't accomplish anything by giving them dirty looks and by them feeling our coldness. What changes people is the love of God. Amen? So listen to this. For those of us that have been baptized, for those of us that believe on Christ and we've gone and we've clothed ourselves with Christ the way that clothing yourself with Jesus, it can be part one, part two, part three, describing what the Lord is trying to tell us. But today, it definitely means this, being baptized. Accepting Christ and following through and baptized, the Bible says it's clothing yourself with Christ. Mark 16:16, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. I've got a period right there. Is there a period in your Bible? Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anybody who refuses to believe will be condemned. This man went into the wedding hall and he did not honor the son. He did not want to honor the son. He looked around at people all around and they honored the son. They loved the son. They loved the king and they loved his son. And he could look around and see by their actions, by their appearance, these people love the son and love the king, but I do not and I will not. And suddenly the king appeared. And everybody stood in awe. All his power, all his authority came into that room. And when he said, "Sir, you are not properly dressed," the man didn't have anything good to say. He had no excuse. He had plenty of time. He could have prepared himself for that moment. He could have honored the son by the way he dressed. But no, he wanted to come in shorts and flip-flops. Nobody tells me what to do. I'm a rebel. And he had to pay the price. But he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. I want you to see one more verse, and I think I've accomplished my mission this morning. John 6:39. John 6:39. So you who have believed on Christ and have followed in obedience through baptism, then be assured that you're on God's good side. That when he comes, you are properly dressed. Look at John 6:39. And what is God's intention? Do you think Walmart doesn't want people in their store? Do you think these stores, they just don't want people? They put these rules up. They put these requirements up. The American Red Cross, have they got something against me? No, they have good intentions, and they post their warnings. They try to communicate their options to the people so they can be accepted and admitted and have access. And listen to this, John 6:39. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of those he has given me, but I should raise them up on the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up on the last day. God's not out to trip you up. God's not out making it difficult for you. God has intentions and plans. And he says, believe on my Son, honor my Son, and you'll be accepted. On the day when I return, you'll be accepted. And so his intentions are that he not lose even one. The Bible teaches that when that one person strays away, the Lord goes after that person. And he's strong enough to pick that person up as a lost sheep and put him on his shoulders and bring him back to the center. I tell you, God's in the business of rescuing and redeeming and delivering and loving and saving. And this is the acceptable day of the year. God has not treating one person this way and treating the other person the other way. It's all, come, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. God is working, and we his servants, we are also working with him. We're filler-uppers of the banquet that's going to be soon. I'll tell you a little bit about my life and I'll end. I was in a lot of trouble as a youth, 18 years old. I'd been arrested. My mom was a cop, so I didn't serve any time, and they expunged it off my record. But I was very, very troubled, very lost young person. I got a book called Hello, I'm God, I'm Here to Help You. And I read it, and it was about an agreement. God said, your life, if you don't have me in your life is less than what you want. Put me in your life and I'll give you the good life. Accept me. Follow me. Do it. Let me teach you and you'll have a good life. And I read the book and I said, yeah, I want it. And I prayed. At 18 years old, I received Christ. The second time, when I was 14, I went to a revival. As a young kid, I went to a revival and the evangelist preached and they baptized me. But you know, I had no friends in church. My family wasn't in church. I'd been invited to a revival, and I got really away from the Lord. I know what it's like to walk away from God. I know what it's like to return to God. And I tell you what, just as the Apostle Paul was a rebel, and he was on that horse going to Damascus, and he was going to see how much damage he could do, and God gave him a knock-you-off-your-horse experience. When I came back to the Lord at 18 years old and I read that book and I believed on him and I felt his washing and his forgiveness and his acceptance, it was a supernatural experience and it was real and it changed me. It's not just beliefs, it's not just philosophy. It's the Holy Spirit is real. Jesus is real. And so for a year, I was in love with the Lord and the church I was going to, I won't talk bad about it, but it wasn't very feeding me very much. But my Sunday school teacher was going to a Church of God. And so he invited me to Church of God. And I heard about, I saw these different people. These people were different from at my church. These people were very different there. The women wore their hair way up here. And I could feel something when I walked in that building. I could feel something, and the guy on the piano was playing the piano. He says, "Oh, I feel this thing tonight," and I was feeling it too. You know, this God is real, man. And so we got in the car. You know, I talked about the Apostle Paul when Jesus appeared to him. He fell off the horse. I had a knocked off your horse experience with the Holy Spirit that night in the car. We had to pull the car off the side of the road. We didn't wreck, thank God. But we had to pull the car because the Holy Ghost came on me with such power. The Holy Ghost came on me, and it was I can describe it like this: 10,000 volts of love. And I was shaking and trembling, and my mind was at peace, but my body was convulsing with all this energy flowing into me. The Holy Ghost fell on me that night. I've had a knocked off your horse experience with the Lord, and it changed me from a believer to a witness. The Bible says when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. And it turned me from a simple happy to be at the party, happy to be at the wedding feast. It turned me into a servant, the go filler upper. And so that's pretty much explains what I've been doing for the past 30 something years. I'm one of those filler uppers. I'm one of those people that go and say, "Come, go, come. Let's. There's something here. There's something for you." When you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, when you have an experience with the Holy Ghost, it turns you into a witness, and it turns you into somebody that moves out. That moves out. It takes away the fear. This thing is real that I'm talking about. Hallelujah. And so that's a little bit of my story, and all I've been doing is loving God and for these years and thanking Him and loving Jesus and encouraging other people. So I want to ask you to stand on your feet, and those that are watching by Facebook, we're going to say a prayer. There's somebody today that heard They heard something from the Lord. And maybe it's your time to make a decision. Because the King is coming. And this is a time when everybody is going through change. And this is your time to change. What you've been doing all along is not working. And you need to jump in with both feet into God's love and let Him accept you. Let Him accept you as His son. You need to call upon Jesus. And then you need to approach yourself to Pastor Steve here. Pastor Steve, send him a text. Call him on the phone. Come by the office. Knock on the door. See if they'll open it. And say, Pastor Steve, it's time for me to put on Christ. Yeah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity today. Thank you for bringing me home.